Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey.
Today, how to hide your secret photos on your iPhone.
Plus, I think I found the ultimate email app for the iPhone. Well, at least this week.
And we'll show you how you too can be a digital hoarder. Snapchat.
On iOS Today.
iOS Today is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace, it's the simplest way to create a beautiful website or cover page for your portfolio or your business or your online store. Enter the offer code iOS Today and you'll get 10% off Squarespace. You should! And by Headspace. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation free at headspace.com/iOS. And by PillPack, a full-service pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit and save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions.
Chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-boom. It's iOS Today time. Mm-hmm. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
How are you? Happy birthday.
Good. It's not my birthday. My birthday is March 15th, which is the same day as the rumored Apple event. I posted a picture on Facebook of my friend Kate's birthday.
That's why you celebrated early.
She turned 45. I am not yet 45.
Oh.
And it is not it was not my birthday, but I got a lot of happy birthdays.
No, because you said, this is what 45 looks like
right.
on your Facebook post. Mm-hmm. And I assumed that meant you.
No, not yet.
But I'm sorry to advance your age. You're
not. Okay.
You don't look a day over 30. I'm just saying.
Oh, thank you.
I believe your post.
So it's not my birthday, but my birthday is March 15th.
Happy birthday, Ides of March.
Yes.
And we do now know that that's apparently, according to the rumor mill mm-hmm. and very, very highly placed sources, the mm-hmm. day Apple's going to have its event.
So if it's a big event, I think I'll go down there, wear a crown, hand out cupcakes.
I'm the birthday girl.
Maybe get invited in.
Take blurry pictures. Yeah.
Push my way in. We'll
I think because it's your birthday, Apple should invite you.
I think so, too. That's what I thought. Okay, now today we're going to talk about iPhone apps. You know, I used to do i5 for the iPhone, the show I inherited from Sarah, and then now we sort of folded it in. And I
we feel we've been giving it short shrift.
We have, yeah. Got lots of email. Where are the... I just want some apps.
Many of the apps we talk about have components on the iPhone, mm-hmm. the Apple Watch, even the Apple TV. So I don't feel like we're just not saying this is an iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
But today, this is an iPhone. These are iPhone apps.
These are iPhone apps.
Some of the apps you can't even use on the iPad. You might try, mm-hmm. but you can't.
Yes, exactly. And I thought this was good, too, because there's a lot of rumble. We might talk about this later in the show. Walt Mossberg had his piece about how Apple's not doing software very well, like they're not doing apps very well. There's been a lot of grumbling about the iOS apps made by Apple are not so great. So these are not Apple apps that we're going to talk about. They are all made from other people.
Yeah.
So my first one is called the Voter app. Election season.
Timely.
Yes.
Tomorrow's New Hampshire primary.
Mm-hmm. And so this is sort of like Tinder for the U.S. election.
You swipe know, left if you
swipe,
don't like him, and
you
swipe
left
right if you
so,
do.
I've done level one and level two. These are just questions. We'll go to
these
level three.
These are going
to
be issues, not candidates.
These are issues.
Okay.
And these are not... I am not going to say what my beliefs are. Because,
is it
going
to profile you? I mean, what is it? Okay, wait a minute. Grant amnesty to illegal immigrants.
Okay, so I decide if I want to do that yes or want to do that now. And like I said before,
you swipe
might
right?
be or might be. Okay, first of all, you can, if you're like, I'm not sure if I want to
do that. Oh, you get more information. That's good.
So
that's good.
Here is the more information about that. You probably can't see that.
You know,
the best reasons to vote yes.
Both George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan said we should provide amnesty. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay. And before, you can also say, how important is this to you?
Oh.
A little bit? Normal?
A little bit?
Or very important?
It literally says little bit?
Little bit. A little bit.
Okay. That's kind of folksy.
Or normal importance.
It's very folksy. Is this from the League of Women Voters?
It's from an app creator. It's for and from a millennial.
Okay.
So, you know.
To help millennials cut through all the media hype and get to the thing. So let's say yes.
You just say yes.
Yeah. Drilling oil in national parks. Hells yeah. How are I going to drive my Tesla if you don't drill? Abolish the IRS. Hells yeah. Who would be against that? Reduce. I'm a corporation, aren't you?
Yes.
Support affirmative action. I affirm this party. Allow third-party candidates in.
Again,
debates.
These are just our. We don't necessarily believe this.
Wow, that's an interesting question. Press
this
the
is
info
level
button
three.
On that. Oh, we're at level three. We're at the tough questions.
Right. I already answered all the easy ones.
The easy ones. Are you? Do you like the American flag?
Right. And then it tells you who you should vote for with the.
Does
easy
it
ones.
At the end of this?
Yep. So let's just do,
oh, well, we've really screwed it up now.
Yes.
Can you swipe if you decide to?
Yeah, then if I don't want to answer the question. Oh, no, swipe right for, yes, 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 no, yes,
yeah,
yes,
I think that's
yes.
it. Do 50-50.
Yes, okay, yes, no.
That's the only
way
to be
fair.
Okay,
we're going to find out who we are going to vote for.
We have no idea who you should vote for.
When you do this, really think thoughtfully, but we don't, we're just making up stuff.
It's confused as heck.
Oh, Jill Stein.
Who's that?
I have no idea. I thought she's the Green Party. Okay, so
she's the only crazy person.
We were 92% Democratic.
79% Green.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we can learn more about Jill Stein. These were our other Bernie Sanders.
See, already I've learned something. I didn't even know there was somebody named Jill Stein running for president.
Mm-hmm, the Green Party. And, we don't want to vote for Jim Gilmore, according to our random.
He would be the least... At least in line with our completely random choices.
Right. So then we can go back to level one. These are like the level one questions. Increase the minimum wage, the basic ones.
Legalize. Yeah. Drill. Yeah.
Again, I'm just swiping left and right at
random. What's that?
That's telling you how to get information. Okay.
So I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it for real, but I'm going to do it off camera because I don't want anybody to know my secret voting preferences.
Right. These are... Also, it gives you updates, news updates to political news you might want to hear about. So it's free, and it's easy.
I wonder, is it a nonprofit? I mean, or just some guy?
It was some guy. Let's see, who is it created by?
Voter
LLC.
God, don't you want to know who these people?
You do
are?
Want to know who it is.
Matchmaking for politics.
That
is it a free app? Huh?
It is a free app, and it. You know who else is doing something similar to this? Our old friend Sean Parker from Napster and Facebook. Uh-huh. He's got something called the Sean Parker's Brigade. Have you heard that?
Ooh, no.
I think we have a link to that. That's similar. So he is someone that Sean Parker. I don't know if that makes it better or not, but
now let me know if you start receiving a lot of targeted solicitations.
I will.
Jill Stein. Would you like to contribute to Jill Stein's campaign? Because I wonder what they're going to do with that data.
Yeah.
If you ever give to a political campaign, even once, even long ago, you will get nonstop phone calls and email solicitations. I can't get off those lists.
They still do that even though I feel like it's gotten fewer because they really know who they need to contact at this point.
They're smarter, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's apps like this to help them be smarter. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I would read the privacy policy if you care.
But it's good. Yeah, good for millennials, I think.
It's nice to clarify the issues. Mm-hmm. I think this is great. I will definitely do this.
And you can read more about it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I got one.
Okay, you go.
You know when I'm getting an electric car. Turns out, really handy to have an iPhone if you have an electric car, because there are numerous apps that will tell you where to plug in. Ooh. One is a crowdsourced one. This is called PlugShare, and people are put new charging stations in. You can see the charging stations that are near us. You can zoom in, and what's fun, because it is a crowdsourced app, if you tap on the place and get more information, you could see a picture of it. You could see, how it works, reviews, who does it. If it's Blink, then that's a Blink account you need, things like that. And these are people checking in. Somebody with a Leaf. Here's a B-Class electric drive. Steve's Model S, a Tesla. So this is a really great way, I think, to help solve a big problem with electric vehicles, which is
range you can't just anxiety.
There, yeah, because there aren't just gas stations everywhere as there are with the petrol, as we call it in my country.
The old-fashioned.
So this is really, really handy. Now, if you have a Tesla, of course, it pops up on the screen. But it's nice to know if you're planning ahead of time, you can enter a location. It's kind of like Foursquare for plug-ins. Mm-hmm. This is called PlugShare. And, of course, companies that do this, like ChargePoint's one of the companies that offers charging. And this will tell you where ChargePoint stations are. It also lets you set up an account. It's kind of like Uber for charging, and you pay through the app. We have a ChargePoint, in fact, next door in the parking garage. That's a ChargePoint station. But a PlugShare is pretty cool. Getting ready to drive an electric vehicle, I want to look and find out all the things I need to know. And this is a number of them. This is one called Tesla Roddy that also is for Tesla owners, has information about superchargers as well as other Tesla-compatible charge points, plus news and information. But I really think that everybody who has or is considering an electric vehicle should get charge point. This seems to be the most complete. And it's actually kind of reassuring because you see that there are, in fact, quite a few electric vehicle charging points almost everywhere. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. Some businesses have public charge points. Some of these are business points, and as you look at the information, it'll tell you who can use it. For instance, businesses often say, well, you can't use it 9 to 5 when our employees are here, but you're welcome to use it at night. Huh. Things like that. Very helpful to know.
Have you heard that there's a station between here and L.A., between San Francisco and L.A., that will take your battery out and replace your battery instead of charging it?
I'll take it.
That's an alternate.
That's the new thing Tesla wants to do because it's fast. The problem with charging, even with a supercharger, you might be sitting there an hour. Mm-hmm. So they try to put superchargers near restaurants, bookstores, something that you might have an activity.
Yeah.
The supercharger in Petaluma, for instance, is in a mall over here. And so you can do some shopping and have a meal and an hour later get in your car. There's an L.A. If you're going to L.A. in your Tesla, you have a 250-mile range. You're going to need to charge halfway. You can stop at Harris Ranch, for instance, have a nice meal and supercharge there. But that's good. The fastest thing would be, and they've shown how this can be done automatedly, it comes in, takes your old battery out, puts the new battery in, and instantly.
Oh,
but as
that.
You
it
can see,
dead.
It's pretty much dead. Well, oh well.
They're just not that into battery packs. Well, you can make it a thing.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Then pick it up on the way back?
No.
You just keep, I mean.
I guess you get a new battery. I don't know. That's an interesting
one.
Maybe that's why Tesla, that was what I always thought is, you mean they're going to give me a nice fresh battery? Thank you.
All right. So here's a quick one I've got. This is just an update to the Google app. So not the Chrome app, but the Google app. Oh, I have so many apps. Where's my Google app?
How many apps do you have? Looks like you got 10, 11 pages.
Okay, so here's the Google app. Here's something. They just added 3D Touch. Well, here's what I do. I keep all my main apps here that I use.
I love 3D Touch, and I don't use it enough because not every app uses it.
Right. I know. So Google, let me show you what Google does with the 3D Touch.
Yeah. So these are going to be the most
curious.
Oh.
It just gives you random trivia.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
So, do turtles breathe underwater? As sea turtles are air-breathing reptiles, they need to surface to breathe.
You know, even that's nice. But even more to the point, because it does a voice search, this is coming a lot closer to the Android experience with Google Search, where you just say, okay, you know who, or you press your home button. Now you can just, you know, tap and hold the Google Plus thing and then start talking. I think that's thank you. I didn't even know that. And look, it's already recording everything I say and sending it back to the Googleplex in Mountain View, California. Hey, Larry. Hey, Sergey. Love you guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. So, 3D Touch on the Google
And look app. Look at the result of the search. How to get a job at Google. You know, when you say that, you get those search results. Love you, Larry and Sergey. Wow. We want you. You're our kind of guy. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Force Touch on the Google app.
Mm-hmm.
I have one. I'm just curious if you have a favorite weather app.
That one that we talked about, I still have the...
The carrot weather? The snarky weather?
No, we talked about the crowdsourced weather.
I use it every day on
my Apple Watch, so it reminded me this morning.
If there are stations everywhere...
Sunshine.
You know, there have to be stations near where you... I'm opting for beauty.
Okay.
And so for a while I was using the Yahoo app, which shows pictures from Flickr, Yahoo's photo sharing site, of the place you're looking at. That's kind of fun. But somebody, a meteorologist, said, well, I don't think Yahoo's predictions are very good. So I've been trying other weather apps, and I ended up coming back to one that's an old favorite, and it is, I think, the most beautiful weather app out there. This is Weather HD Plus. Look how gorgeous that is. And very much like the other weather apps, you know, you can, like my son's a student at CU Boulder, so I have weather for my son. My mom and sister live in Cranston, Rhode Island, so, oh, they're going to be getting some snow. And look at that. The snow's coming down, a little HD video of snow. It gives you in one screen kind of everything you'd want to know, including the time, because the idea of this is you might put your phone in a dock and have it sit there, and now you see the time and weather in a pretty video. It's kind of designed to be almost a home screen sitting in the background. I really like this.
It is pretty.
I can dream about getting to the Bahamas.
In your Tesla?
In my Tesla.
Oh, no.
It's not amphibious yet.
Not yet.
Orlando. Isn't that nice? That's a Weather HD Plus. It's an oldie but goodie. But I have to say, of all the weather apps out there, I ended up coming back to this one. It's the one on my home screen. That's how you know it's serious. It's a serious relationship.
All right. So taking photos on your phone and then having them on your phone and accidentally having someone see them that you wouldn't want to see them, that is something that happens people sometimes.
This bothers me because you'll say, oh, I have a picture of my Tesla. Would you like to see it? And you hand it to the person. They go, oh, that's nice. And then they start going,
yes.
Well, let me see what else you got here. And I don't like to go, give me that.
No. Yeah.
But that's rude, isn't
right.
it? And but then, people do that, don't they? It's like looking in your medicine chest when they come to your house. They go to your bathroom. They look and see what you're taking.
Yeah, exactly. That's the modern-day equivalent to looking in someone's medicine
chest. It is. So is there a way to prevent that?
There is. So there's an app called Reporter. And it's good for reporters. If you happen to also be a reporter, you know, taking pictures of iPhones and such that you don't want anyone else to see.
Yeah.
So there is my Reporter
Secret
app.
Pictures.
Reporter. And so, okay, I have seen apps. There's lots of apps like this. Photo Vault apps. The kids these days love the Photo Vault apps.
Well, isn't that why they use Snapchat? Because it dissolves after a day.
Right, but if they don't want it to dissolve, a lot of kids use these apps that look like calculators. Have we talked about that before?
Oh, and the teacher doesn't know.
Or the parent, mostly, doesn't know. And so it looks like a calculator. You open it up, and then you have to, you know, enter a code. I've tried a few of those apps. They're, you know, they're for kids, and they don't work so well, and they have ads, and they're not good. But this one is actually quite nice. So this is Reporter. And so I will take a picture of you.
Okay, and this is a picture you don't want anybody to see.
Right. I don't want anyone to see.
Because it looks so horrible.
And it has, we can't see this while I'm taking a picture. I'll take a picture of Anthony. Can you see that?
Yeah. So what's going on?
There's filters.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't take a picture of it. You can swipe for, there's my headspace. We'll talk about that later. There are filters that you can use, and you can adjust this way and adjust while you're taking the picture.
Oh, nice. Okay. So it's a camera app. Okay.
Right. And then
some nice features.
And in order to get to the vault, I swipe. This is my gallery. These are my regular photos that I don't want to hide from anyone. Here's my vault. Here's my secret photos. Okay.
Oh.
I added a... Hold on.
That's nice. That's nice.
Wait, please.
It's hanging.
It froze.
That's because that's unauthorized use detected.
Uh-uh.
We will self-destruct
Hold
in
on.
10, 9, 8, 7, 4, 5.
Okay, there it is. Here's my secret photos. There they are.
What is that, a burrito?
That's a little croix. Le croix. That's my secret water that I don't want anyone to know.
Secret water. Wow.
So, yeah, it's a nice app. I think that
Who's
was
that
user
error. Handsome man you have
there
in your
you
secret
are.
Vault.
So don't lose your password, or you'll lose all your photos. You can add a signature to your photos as well.
A signature?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I don't know why you'd want to do that, I guess.
Hmm.
Why would you want to add a signature to your photos?
Like, you mean like your
digital signature? I guess so, yeah. Maybe.
Watermark.
Copyright?
Yeah.
But it's actually a signature where you sign.
You like sign it?
Like if you're an artist and you want to keep them, then keep...
I always sign my pictures Picasso. I hope that someday they'll be more valuable that way.
That's called the Reporter app. So if you have a reason...
with a built-in vault.
If you are a parent and you make a habit of looking at the apps on your children's phone and you see one with that big R in the reporter app, you might want to ask them why they have that.
Can I show you an app that's only for special people?
Yes.
Are you a verified Facebook user? Do you have
no,
a blue check?
I don't have a blue check anywhere.
Well, those of us who are massively popular celebrities have access to a different Facebook app. Did you
what
know that?
What the heck?
Would you like to see past the velvet rope?
Yes.
Into the secret garden that is Facebook, where people like Ricky Gervais and Tina Fey like to hang and hobnob?
Yes.
It's called Facebook Mentions, and actually it's all I use now because there's no ads. This is the new thing. Twitter has revealed that special people, verified users with lots of followers, don't get ads. All this time, I didn't know there were ads on Twitter. Lisa said, oh, God, there's so many ads. I said, there's ads on Twitter? I've never seen them. Apparently, the social networks trying to get, you know, celebrities to use them have different rules for the rich and famous. Mm-hmm. So Mentions is only available if you have a verified account. But it looks just like Facebook, except that it's a little bit more self-absorbed. So first of all, I have the stream, but notice there's no ads. It's actually much cleaner, much simpler. And there's a special button for mentions of you.
Oh.
Now, don't you think every Facebook app should have mentions? These are people who are talking about me. Can you imagine how big this feat is for Beyonce?
Yeah.
Yep, that's why Beyonce uses it. You can also post, and here's something interesting, something that is just being added to the little people's Facebook, the ability to post a live video, a Periscope style video. They've just added this now, so you
can do it too.
The hoi polloi can stream their live video. But this for a while was, that's kind of cool. So that's part of the post feature. The main reason I use this is it's kind of a streamlined Facebook experience. And I wish that this were available to everyone, but I'm sorry. Mentions is only available if you are a special person. It's the best if you have a verified Facebook account. And actually, I don't know how you get a verified account.
I don't know.
But if you have one, do use it. It's much better.
I know with Twitter, they're very secret about it. Somebody just like went to Twitter headquarters and showed up with like his entourage and said, give me a verified account. And he got escorted to the door.
Really?
So, yeah, I was going to try that.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Kanye West. Give me a verified account.
He was not Kanye West. No. Okay, so the next app is an iPhone app, and it's updated.
Mentions is iPhone only.
Oh, good to know.
I'm trying to do iPhone only.
Okay, well, this is an iPhone only, and this is better to show. Let's show day one, two.
Love day one.
On our iPads, because that's a better experience.
I have been using day one to journal since 2012, and I have four whole posts on it.
Awesome.
So journaling is one of those things. I don't know. Are you like this? I say every day, I say, I want to keep a journal. I buy books. I have Moleskine's galore. I get apps. And I keep saying, I want a journal. I want a journal. And I never do. But day one is really good because it reminds you. You can set notifications up. Even on your watch, it'll say, have you journaled today? And you can journal. It lets you put pictures, media in. It can put maps in.
You can journal from your watch, actually. It says just check in. And you can just press a button from your watch.
No
and it'll
kidding.
Say where you were. That's it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. It'll also show you a calendar of all your journal posts. You see how frequently I post. Not at all. But they just released the second version. Tell
day
me
one,
what's
two.
New.
Day one, too. There's
two.
A lot of new things. You can have more journals. There are more features. You can on the iPhone app, you can add your movement, which is tracked from you know the activity app or the health app or your location. It's just it has more features, but it took some things away. One of the great things before you could use Dropbox. You could sync it on Dropbox and different cloud services. Now they use their own cloud service. So we actually have a voicemail that I think we can play about a viewer
Megan
who
gave me
has some questions about the new.
Hey, Megan and Leo. It's Steve from New Hampshire. And I got a question about the new Day One app. I've been using it for journaling for the last couple of years, and it's fantastic. And you could sync it up with Dropbox, iCloud, or their own stuff, their own cloud and everything. But recently I heard that this new version they have doesn't use Dropbox or iCloud anymore. It only uses their own synchronizing service, their own cloud. So and a lot of people are confused and if it's safe or not. And how do you synchronize without losing anything? If you guys, the experts, could take a look at that and tell us the best way to go about that, is it worth upgrading to the new version? That'd be great. Thanks.
That's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I mean, you're absolutely right. If you're using somebody else's data storage for your most private thoughts, you're trusting them with them. Now, I'm sure Day One has encryption. I actually have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But is it trust no one encryption? In other words, are you the only one with the key? One way to find out is ask them, if I forget my password, can you recover that for me? If I lose my encryption password, can you get that to me? If they can recover it for you, then they have it.
Mm.
And then that means they could read it. There's also the risk of this is a third party. You know that Apple's going to be around probably longer than Day One, Google too, Dropbox even maybe. So I like the idea of being able to use your own choice. Does he say they don't even support the other?
No, you can't sync. Didn't you just try to sync and it didn't?
Yeah, but I hadn't logged into my Day One account. Let me log into my Day One account. It had been syncing. I guess I was using iCloud.
Yeah.
So that's why it found the four posts I've made in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's disappointing. So let's see what it says. Day One sync is fast, reliable. Privacy. Your journal is private. All data, including, is stored in an encrypted form. That doesn't mean anything. We use encrypted connections. That doesn't mean they can't access it. Yeah, say they can. Key operational employees. So there, you got the issue of, A, an employee at Day One can look at your stuff. Two, of course, because it's on a server, whatever they may try to do doesn't mean that they can't have a data breach. And that doesn't mean your data is safe. And three, you're relying on them sticking around. Now, they say we're going to develop and provide full private key encryption on the server in 2.1 in May. If that's the case, that's trust no one, the way they describe that. And they have a point. iCloud and Dropbox don't do that. Once they start doing that, I'd feel much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you and only you would have access to that data. Even if they have a data breach, presumably it's well encrypted. And because they don't have a password, you wouldn't. It is at least the case that you can export it after the fact as plain text, markdown, or PDF. Your photos are in JPEG and can be exported. To me, that's really important. So you're not tied into this forever. Mm-hmm. You can keep a journal for a few years. Day One will probably send you an email, if they're going to go out of business, saying, hey, quick, get your data, and you can get it. And even if not, you probably should back it up on a periodic basis. So that reassures me a little bit. You got to watch out, though, for data breaches or somebody malicious at Day One reading your stuff. I would wait, if I were you, to upgrade. They got a deal now. It's half off.
It is, yeah. So it's not cheap either. And if you've already bought it, you still have to buy it again. It's $9.99 for the iOS app.
I bought it.
And $40 on the Mac. Right now, this week, it's 50% off.
See, that's why I liked it.
But you can still use Day One.
Because you can use it on the Mac and on the phone and on your tablet.
Yeah.
So that you're more likely to journal, you know, wherever you are with whatever you have. That's a little disappointing. $40, $10.
You'd have to be a serious journaler.
Yeah. Well, I bought it. I keep buying it. I just bought the new one.
But you can still use this one. Is
someday.
Called Day One 2, but you can still use
Day One.
Day One 1
is still available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. So that's a great question. I'm glad you called with that question, and that's my answer, which is if you really want to be private, wait until May when they come out with Day One 2.1.
Mm-hmm. Or buy yourself 3 Moleskines and keep them in a safe.
Well, they're not that personal either, are they? private,
All right, so Bing just got an update. Bing from
B-I-N-G,
Microsoft.
Microsoft's Bing?
Yes, on the iOS and on Android. Now, some of these features have been on iOS since December, but I hadn't seen them. They use 3D Touch, too. So I can just scan a barcode if I'm shopping.
Oh!
Or the voice search, as you said.
Nice. See, this is a little loophole. Apple really wants you to use Siri, but if it's as easy to use Bing as it is to... Oh, it's searching for what I'm saying. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I'll stop talking.
Yes, they just want you to... And look, we didn't get offered a job at Microsoft for that like we did.
That's probably because I didn't say I love you, Satya Nadella. Love you.
But the shopping features are really cool. Like, you can get deals around where you are. So you can get coupon deals or just low price. So here's, we can go eat at Hallie's next door. We can get
A deal on potato pancakes?
This is just what's nearby. But if here's the deals up here.
Nice.
Fine art frame. So it's Groupons, coupons, gas. Super easy to see the cheapest gas around here.
That's pretty cool.
Just by one button. I love what Microsoft is doing on iOS. I have to say it again.
I might just promote Bing to my front page. Doesn't that mean it's a serious relationship when it's like
if you're on one of those apps. Yeah.
Yeah.
So check out Bing, especially if you do a lot of shopping and you need you like a deal.
If you had Bing and Google on the same next to each other on the front page, would you prefer one over the other? Would you Bing more than you Google,
Or would I Siri more? I don't know. If I had the two of them next to each other, I haven't promoted Bing to the front page yet. But I think I will, because I do like the barcode search. That's really great if you want to check the price on something.
I'm going to show you one more thing that is for the fancy pants.
Oh, for the special.
In the audience.
The verified people on Earth.
Well, anybody can get into this one. It just costs money.
Okay.
Have I told you about Lux?
Oh, I have never used Lux. I have downloaded the app in preparation of using it at some point, but I never have.
Because unfortunately, it only works in some big cities. Mm-hmm. But San Francisco is one of the cities. Of course, that's the one where we go. And parking is so expensive.
Stinks.
New York, same thing. Parking is very expensive.
And
it's hard to find.
It takes a lot of time.
Lux is a valet service that works wherever you want it to work. Now, it doesn't work in Petaluma, so you're going to see that it says go to service area. There you go. Now, if I happened to be in San Francisco driving, I could put a pin down and say, have the valet meet me. They scooter over in their little blue suits. They go over in a scooter. The reason they ride a scooter is so they could throw it in the trunk.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to take your car. You're going to give them the keys. They're going to drive off. You know, as I think about this, this is a terrible idea. They're going to drive off. They'll even, if for a fee, gas it up or wash your car.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you tell them, okay, I want it now. And I want it in 10 minutes, and I want it at this place, and they'll bring it to you. And then they'll scooter off again. The best part is, in many ways, it's cheaper. They own their own garages in San Francisco, New York. It's cheaper than parking there. $9 an hour, $27 max. That's a good deal for parking in San Francisco, especially since it comes direct to you. You can request a valet. You'll tell them what kind of transmission you have, so they send the right valet. Not all of them can drive a stick, you know. I just think this is a really nice service. And if you happen to be in the area where they work, and you can find out by going to their website, L-U-X-E, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Seattle, Austin, or New York, I don't know why you wouldn't use this.
No, it takes a lot of time. And I mean, you have some accountability, presumably, with your phone, knowing who the driver is.
Yeah.
You bandage your keys.
Yeah,
over.
And you see, they wear those blue jackets, so it's not just some stranger in a blue jacket coming in off the street in a Razor scooter, taking your car and never bringing it back. It's one of these five people.
I would like to try that next time.
It's really cool. We use Silver Car, which is a similar app for car rental. And when I signed up for Silver Car, I got a coupon for free parking in L.A. with Luke's, and I just never used it. I've got to use it. People like Johnny Jett who have used it say it's a great service. L-U-X-E.
All right, I think it's time to thank Squarespace.
I can do that. Did you see their ads on the Super Bowl yesterday?
Yes.
With Key and Peele?
I love Key and Peele.
They are so crazy.
And speaking of Twitter advertisements, I got a lot of those. I guess Twitter knows I like Squarespace because I get a lot of Squarespace ads, which I enjoy to see Key and Peele.
I think the thing that Squarespace counts on us to explain the finer details of a Squarespace account. The ad itself is just to get you to know the name. So you see it on the Super Bowl, and then you hear us talk about how great it is for hosting, how great it is for designing your site, how beautiful your site will look. The e-commerce that's built in at Squarespace is second to none. It's the only system I know where you don't exit out to an ugly shopping cart, that you buy something in a store that looks like your site. It is your site. It has all the aesthetic appeal of your site. And, man, the templates are incredible, not just good-looking. That's important, of course, great designers, but it's also great engineering behind the scenes. So, and it's tightly integrated with the server software. So that's why it's such great hosting. Never goes down. Software works perfectly. You don't have to worry about security because they keep it up to date for you. They keep all the patches in there. Many Squarespace users find they have several websites. It's so easy to set up a site. You can do it for free. great to gift people. You know, Alex Lindsay used to go to restaurants. I think this probably doesn't happen much anymore. But he'd go to a restaurant that didn't have a website. So before the meal was over, he would say, hey, I set up a Squarespace site for you. Here it is. Here's the password. Log in and pay for it. Because everybody in business ought to have a website. Even if you're a plumber, if you're a contractor, you need to have a website so people can verify your identity and see who you are. And that site should reflect you. It shouldn't look like some funky, you know, cookie cutter site, which is most of the site builders out there. It should look like your site. By the way, you don't have to be a guru or an expert to do it. In fact, Squarespace really caters to the designer, the photographer, the filmmaker, the writer, the musician, the blogger, somebody selling online. Not geeks. Although if you are a geek, they have a developer platform that will just send you. Notice a lot of wedding photographers use it. That's because of the Portfolio app on the iPad. You could put your clients' pictures and a special section on the website, and then the iPad Portfolio app will pull those, just those pictures, so that your client can review them and pick them. Mm-hmm. So imagine you're a wedding photographer, you've got the pictures, you put it on the site, and you tell the bride, go to the site. They never do. So now you can come over and say, let's talk about your pictures. Here, I have them on my iPad in the Portfolio app. They swipe through them. It's so cool. Look, you got to try it. All the sites are mobile responsive. That means you don't have to have a separate mobile site. They look good on any size screen. You get a free domain name with your annual purchase, so you can have yourbusiness.com. Incredible 24/7 support. Look at the companies that use Squarespace. I use Squarespace. It's my personal site. We use it for our company blog. We use it for a lot of reasons. Lisa just set up our new business on Squarespace, artisanal. It was so easy, and it's so beautiful. Squarespace.com. One thing. Do me one favor. There it is. Isn't that pretty? Thank you, Anthony, by the way. Anthony, beautiful RTD, logo. Did a really great job on the logo. You're a great designer, Anthony. I appreciate it. And Squarespace kind of let us keep that design ethos throughout the site. Squarespace, 10% off when you use the offer code IOS today. Squarespace. You should.
All right, so let's talk about the Apple Watch, shall we?
Oh, you know what? I've come around. Because I've tried them all. In fact, I tried the new Moto 360 Sport. Mm-hmm. I've tried the Fitbit Surge, the President's mm-hmm. fitness band. I've tried them all. The Apple Watch is the only one that's accurate recording my heart rate.
Yeah.
So I wear it all the time now because I exercise a lot more thanks to my new svelte figure. And it's the bow tie.
I wish you could show everyone how big your pants are, but let's not.
On that after picture where the guy's saying, I used to fit a baby in there. And now, no, but I like the watch. I've been using it more. And the Just Play Record that we talked about.
Just Press Record.
There's some nice features on this.
I like that, too. Okay, so, you know, there's a lot of back and forth. I will later on read an email from someone who was on the fence about getting an Apple Watch and wanted our opinion. I'll give you the end of that story after we talk a little bit about Macworld had a really interesting article today about how maybe the Apple Watch doesn't need apps. Maybe that's because we keep waiting for the killer app. What if apps aren't the thing? Because it's true. Like, I Just Press Record is a great app. But other than that, there's
most of them
many,
are not good.
I look at them and I think that's going to be great.
They take
on my
forever
Apple Watch.
To launch. Still, we thought that would be fixed in Watch OS 2. Not.
But I love my watch just like I love it for activity tracking. I love it for notifications.
I will disagree with him because I think that the killer app is what set me over the top. Now, one killer app was Just Press Record. That's a third-party app. The other killer app was the activity app, the workout app, which keeps track of my workouts and does it better than any fitness band I can try. Mm-hmm. But I know it's an Apple app, but that's an app.
Yeah.
It's not like front and center on the watch. So I do think a killer app for each individual, and that app will vary, could make the difference in using the Apple Watch.
I
disagree. I think that that's important.
I mean, I love the notifications, and Ring is a sponsor of the show, but I do get notifications.
Oh, I love that.
Anytime someone's at my door, anytime there's motion at my door, I get notifications. You talked about that weather app. I get notifications. It's a very simple notification. Headspace, also a sponsor of this show, but I do use I get little meditation.
Well,
reminders.
You mentioned Streaks, right? That was that you mm-hmm. who mentioned that? That's the motivational app where it's you pick what you want to have a habit, what habit you want. So I've been using it since you picked it.
And
I have one says eat a healthy meal. Mm-hmm. And it's so great. It says on the watch, did you eat a healthy meal? And I say done. And you're right. It works. There's something about it.
Yeah.
So for the right app, I agree. Most of the $15,000 apps out there are not great, or really not great. Mm-hmm. But the few that make a difference in you, that could make the difference on the watch. Right. And I think Streaks is a good one. I think Just Press Record. We try to show you. In fact, I'm going to show you an email app as my app cap that has a very robust Apple Watch.
I would like to see that because I've not been able to find one that lets me reply, and I want to be able to reply.
Yes.
Because I do love the chat app, the iMessage app, being able to reply to iMessages is great.
Yeah.
And what Marco Arment had an article, too, about the Apple Watch. He doesn't wear his anymore, but he says the Apple Watch got him hooked on mechanical watches. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Because he never really, he was a calculator watch guy.
Right.
And all of a sudden he had this fashionable watch, and he got...
Beautiful
like,
watches
oh.
are beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are a work of art. The Nomos is a really good choice. It's relatively inexpensive designer watch. It looks gorgeous. That's from Glashütte, which is where, of course, my favorite watch is. And if they're watching, Lange & Söhne, I would be glad to wear one, just kind of as a promotional. Most of them are over $75,000.
So
this
what?
Is Kevin Rose introduced me to these watches.
Fancy watches.
Yeah, they're really expensive. So I understand when you start seeing watches, what happens is millennials, young people like Marco, never wore watches, right? Mm-hmm. Or he says he wore those.
I think he's around my age. We're not millennials. I feel like he's in his 40s.
Well,
maybe he's younger than me.
They're not as old as I am, but then nobody is. I mean, I grew up wearing mechanical watches, and I have a real appreciation for watches. So it's true, if you never wore a watch or you never wore a good watch before and suddenly you're wearing an Apple Watch, you might say, well, it's a start, but I'd really like something that tells the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
My watch just went blank. That's the problem with the
Apple Watch. Well, that's what you tell. You know, it's like that kind of...
That, by the way, the rumor is that March 15th announcement, one of the things they might add, they're not going to have new watches, just new bands, mm-hmm. but they may have new watch OS, or at least talk about it, is an always-on function.
Yeah, I would like that.
I really like that.
Because we don't use, if we're not using all those apps and everything, then an always-on.
This is dopey to have.
But I will tell you also, my battery often doesn't make it till the end of
really?
The day.
You have the 38?
Yes. Well, that the smaller
See, I
one.
I never have battery problems.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what a lot of people say.
I have a 42.
And yeah, it's the size. I was talking to Jason Snow when he was here for
MacBook. Little millimeters?
He's like, the women's watch, the battery is smaller. But also the workout app, I think, drains your battery.
It does. Because you understand why. It's measuring your heart rate, which mm-hmm. means it has to shine a bright light through your skin to your blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bounce that out off the blood vessels. That's how it measures the heart rate. And you can see it. It's a bright green light. That obviously is
yeah.
going to kill it. But I only exercise for minutes at a time. Do you exercise more than that?
I do. I do a 90-minute Bikram yoga class, so that's a lot. And sometimes I forget to turn it off because I'm so tired afterwards. So it's
generally, I don't do more than an hour, so maybe that maybe
yeah,
that's part
of
it.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. But, you know.
But it doesn't – I can – you know, Lisa has the same problem. She says, if I exercise, my watch is not going to make it through the day. She stopped wearing hers.
Mm-hmm.
But I exercise every day for about an hour, and it does make – it makes it fine through the day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I do have one complaint.
Okay.
I don't want to use the Apple Calendar
mm-hmm.
on my phone. I want to use Google Calendar on my phone. And there's no complication, as far as I can tell. The only complication for calendars is the Apple Calendar. So perennially, I have no appointments.
Mm.
That's why
and it
I'm
says
late.
None. Yeah.
None. But mm-hmm. That's why I'm late for everything now. That's my excuse. No, I don't have any appointments.
None.
So I really want a complication. From Google that I could put on the watch face with my Google Calendar. Because I do have, in fact, I get notifications from my Google Calendar. So I don't understand why I can't have a complication from my Google Calendar.
Well, do you think we talked briefly about apps in general, Apple apps. Do you think we need to talk any more about, how do you think Apple's doing on their apps?
Oh, you mean this notion that, who was it that said Apple?
Walt Mossberg said it first. Apple's apps need work.
Well, and we've talked about this on Mac Break Weekly from time to time. I think on the one hand, he's not wrong, but I don't know if this is something new.
Mm-hmm.
I think many Apple software, a lot of Apple software is buggy when it first comes out, and that's been going back to System 7 days. So I don't think that that's something new. Software is hard to do.
But you just said you use the Google Calendar, not the Apple Calendar. I mean, I think that's what he's talking about. Like, nobody uses the Mail. I mean, we don't use the Mail app.
Right. Well,
we
don't
use the Calendar app. We don't use any of these just built-in apps.
I'm not sure I agree with him on that. What I do think is true is that Photos is a good example. Apple stumbled a little bit with photos. Google came along with an amazing program. Mm-hmm. So we all, many of us, use Google's photos right. instead of Apple's photos. I don't think that's necessarily that Apple's software isn't as good as it used to be, but that really more a reflection of the fact that third-party software has gotten better and better. And mm-hmm. there's some very good stuff, a lot of it coming from Apple's historical enemies, Microsoft and Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we talked about, Bing. All right, well, let's move on. I got a tip from Studio E. He says, how to keep the Apple Pencil charged when not in use, disconnect from Bluetooth, and the Pencil battery will then keep its charge.
That's why it's dying, because it dies in a couple of days.
Yeah, but if you disconnect it from Bluetooth.
But I'm not sure I want to do that, because I want to just pick up
the... But you just plug it in
just
and it connects.
Just plug it in every day.
Yeah.
But that's a good tip. That's what's killing it is the Bluetooth. That makes sense.
I wish I knew. I wish you could do the same thing with the Apple TV remote. I don't think you can do that. But my Apple TV remote.
You don't want to. You could unpair your remote, but you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Squinty from Australia writes, when listening to, this is a tip about Snapchat. When listening to audio such as iOS Today, when you tap a story or a snap, hit the volume control and it will turn off the audio so you can hear the audio only from Snapchat. Once the snap or story is finished, the audio outside of Snapchat will restart again.
Oh.
Good tip. I think we asked for Snapchat tips from
people
who use Snapchat.
So if you hit the audio control while you're watching a snap, it will turn down the other audio mm-hmm. that you were listening to, like iOS Today, mm-hmm. turn up the Snapchat, and then go back the other way. Should just do that automatically, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm surprised it doesn't. All you people who are worried about checking your Snapchat stories while watching iOS Today?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go right ahead.
You won't miss a thing.
Okay, so here's Wayne, who I was talking about, who emailed me about wanted to get a used Apple Watch. He wanted to know our opinion about getting a wheel.
I bet there's a brisk market in that.
Well,
actually.
Yeah. So I said, well, I will ask Leo on Monday. And then over the weekend, he emailed me and he said, you know, I couldn't wait. And I just did it anyway. And he is really happy. He said he got it for £290.
Oh, that's a lot.
It does. That's $418. The 42
for the
Apple Watch Sport Edition, which is more than what I paid.
Wait a minute.
But he's in the UK.
Maybe
obviously,
is it that much in the UK?
I don't know. Maybe used or more expensive. But he says he's very happy with it.
In the States, the Sport Edition is $350.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I guess that's probably a little discount off of the exchange rate is so bad.
Mm.
This is a big problem for Apple because currency fluctuation, it's hard for them to price stuff.
Yeah.
Because they don't know. Tomorrow, the pound could go up or it could go down. And so I think often they overprice stuff.
But the good news is he's totally blown away with it. The thing is leaps and bounds ahead of my Pebble Steel. Just so much on it and so useful. The health tracking is superb. There's so much functionality and impresses on every aspect. I need to spend a good few days with it to fully appreciate what it does. For something I didn't think I needed as I had the Pebble. I cannot tell you how much I love this thing. Truly superior to Pebble. He had the Pebble Steel, too. My only gripe is it's so expensive.
Well, he says he wants to save up for the next one. The good news is it's pretty much agreed that there will not be a new Apple Watch March 15th. Just new bands.
And new software.
And maybe previews. I don't even know if they'll ship new software. Yeah. Previews of new software. But we won't see a new Apple Watch until, certainly not in the spring, fall, if then. So you got some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lane, let us know 2 weeks out or a month out. Email me again and tell me if you're still as happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can email me at megan@twit.tv. We have some more feedback. But now let's talk about Headspace. So I brought up, I get meditative updates, reminders that are, I can't believe I've been getting them for weeks, and they're always original, and they always help me through my day.
Headspace is much more, I love Headspace because it takes all the kind of mysticism out of what is fundamentally a really cool technology, which is called meditation or mindfulness. It's this Andy guy, Andy Puddington. Isn't he great? Don't you hear Andy in your head now?
Hi, I'm Andy.
Andy is the nicest guy. He used to be a monk. And he is, so he's like, knows his meditation, but he's also the best meditation teacher. And these are guided meditations, which means you're not alone sitting and listening to the, the birds tweeting and the cars going by. You're actually walking through a beautiful meditation with Andy. He's teaching you wherever you are. So you could do it on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. I actually use AirPlay to put it to the speakers. Mm. I sit in my bedroom and I love it. I started with the Take 10 program. I started doing this about in July. It's a free way to experience meditation in your busy modern life. 10 free sessions. And you'll know by the end of the 10 sessions if this is for you. I think you'll love it. And 10's enough to kind of get hooked on it, to be honest. Meditation, as you know, is rooted in years of traditions. But there's also thousands of scientific studies that show beneficial effects, improving focus, improving your relationship harmony, decreasing anxiety and stress. We all have too much stress in our life, and that's why I started using Headspace. I wanted to manage stress. I was doing a lot of things to manage stress, trying to improve health as part of my overall health goals, and Headspace really was the one that did it for me. I just love it. And you love Andy. 5 million users are now using Headspace. It's a great success. And you can get your free 10 meditation sessions right now at headspace.com/IOS. They take all the kind of the mysticism and mumbo jumbo out of it and just make it a practice that you can do, you can get into, and you can really, really enjoy.
Can I show you my Apple Watch Headspace reminder?
Yeah.
Can you see that?
So it reminds you to meditate?
No, it just gives you, now is a great time to be present.
Yeah.
Now is good too. And now.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Don't you go?
It's so nice to just get those reminders. We think about our technology stressing us out, but sometimes it reminds us.
And you hear it in Andy's voice. Mm-hmm. And now. Andy, we love you. If you haven't seen his TED speech, his TED talk was great. Millions of people have watched that. It's a good way to find out about Headspace. Headspace.com/IOS. Meditation made simple.
All right, I have some questions for you, or some comments from, here's one from Chet from Wisconsin. He writes about his Microsoft Surface Book. Hang on.
I got one of them.
He says, I struggle with using Windows 10 without a physical keyboard. Maybe it's just me, but I find iOS so much simpler to use on a tablet.
Well, that's true.
This caused me to think, why doesn't Apple make a device like this?
Well, that's true.
Maybe they can use an iPad as the screen for a MacBook. When the iPad is connected to the MacBook keyboard, it uses the iPad for nothing more than the MacBook screen. Maybe both batteries charge at the same time, etc. When you detach the iPad from the MacBook keyboard, this is when the magic happens. The iPad displays iOS and macOS on the keyboard, goes to sleep or shuts down, whatever the user wishes to do. I would think it's possible, and it would be a great competitor to the Surface Book.
You just invented the Surface Book. So, and actually, this is a whole category. It's not just a Microsoft Surface Book. But Lenovo and many others make what we call two-in-ones or convertibles. The idea is, if you look at it, it looks just like a laptop. It's got a physical keyboard that's strongly attached to a physical screen. But I'm going to wait till it boots up because this, you can release this. You'll see there's a release button, and it's going to click. You hear that click? And actually, that's a speaker, by the way. And then I can, I can detach this. This keyboard has a graphics unit in it as well as an extra battery. This is the tablet. It is, you know, it's a little heavier, but it because it has touch. Oh, by the way, it's looking for me, so I should probably hello.
Show your face.
Hello, Surface, because this is a feature that I'm not that crazy about that Microsoft's introduced, where it it looks at your face, and then it logs you in based on face recognition. The thing is, it's slow. But it works okay.
But he says he has this Surface Book.
Yeah, but so I'm showing you this is cool. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found out from using this is I like touch on a computer. I think, you know, we all talk about how great touch is on iOS. Apple has decided that it doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't want to do touch on a computer. They've said, well, nobody's going to want to use touch on a laptop because you have to reach and blah, blah, blah. I think this is a little bit bright, isn't it? I have to turn the brightness down. But I think that those of us who've used touch computers want it. And certainly anybody who's used the iPad for a length of time has touched their MacBook screen or their computer screen and gone, rats, I can't do that. I feel like touch is a great interface, and I think Apple is wrong in saying it shouldn't be on a desktop computer. Having said that, I don't think that they're going to do it, not in the near time frame, like in the next few years. They really have a dividing line between iOS, that's a touch-centric, touch-first operating system, and OS X, which is a desktop operating system that uses mouse and keyboard or trackboard and keyboard, and never the twain shall meet. I don't think Apple has plans to put touch on OS X. Touch in an operating system, you're going to use something. Now, I've put Linux on a touch screen Windows machine, it works great. I like touch on an operating system. I think it's a natural. Microsoft also ships the Surface Book and the Surface Pro with a pen.
And it sticks to the, that's the better,
this,
it's much better.
Yeah. This is great. Why didn't Apple do that?
I don't
so,
know. They didn't do
you
that.
Know what? This is the case now, and I love it, that there's no one company with a monopoly on the best things to do with computing. That that Apple has great ideas, but you know what? So do other companies like Microsoft. And I think Apple could learn a little bit from Microsoft. The way the pen is handled is infinitely better. This is a really strong rare earth magnet. You know, one of those, you could almost lift the screen with it. It's really strong. And I like touch on a desktop.
And,
I really do.
Do you think, I wouldn't say like the whole rollout of Windows 10, you know, across the continuity across desktop and phone and everything. I wouldn't say that's been a roaring success, would you? I mean, it's not like that. You don't hear people saying, like, I just love being able to use the same OS on my computer and my phone.
Microsoft's doing something interesting that Apple's also not doing that I think the jury's still out on. They call it Continuum.
Okay.
If you have a Windows phone, you could put it on a dock, attach keyboard, mouse, and monitor, and now it's powerful enough to be a computer. And some Android phones do that. Apple's never done that, but really these iPhones have very, very powerful Apple even says desktop class processors in here. That'd be an interesting idea. There's the Continuum. I don't see people doing this. I don't know how exciting it is, but I think that there are, yes, there are lots of things out there. This is why I love competition. I love choice. I'm glad there's not just one company in the world, because no one has a monopoly on the best way to do this. So, yeah, Apple could learn a little bit. I do agree. I think touch belongs on a desktop computer, but I wouldn't count on Apple doing that anytime soon.
Yeah, this is as close as you're going to get the iPad Pro for a while.
Yeah, sad to say.
All right, so E on Twitter asks, what's a good contractor consultant app for iOS to track time, mileage, costs, etc.? He says he's been trying Everlance for now. I put this out on Twitter, and I got lots of people retweeting it, but no recommendations.
Really?
Renee Ritchie recommends...
Currently a lot of people want this.
Yeah. Renee Ritchie recommends MileageLog. That's $9.99.
Well, we do have a sponsor, Automattic, that will do this. FreshBooks will also do this. In fact, FreshBooks will do it with the Automattic. These are two different sponsors.
Right.
So Automattic is watching you drive. You could say these trips are business, these trips are home, and put these in my Expense account. It'll work with Expensify and other things too. So this is an automatic way, literally, to put mileage, for instance, into FreshBooks, which is a billing app, so that lets you send a bill for your mileage. Or Expensify, or you see Concur, Hustlebox. These all will take the information about your business trips, business mileage, and put it in, even QuickBooks. These are actually, you know what, I would look at some of these. These are focused on expensing and trips, but some of these might be good for freelancers. Did he say what he wants to do?
He said mileage plus...
expense and mileage tracking.
Yeah,
FreshBooks will do that.
Mileage, costs, etc. He said he just started his own freelance business. So yeah, FreshBooks,
yeah.
A sponsor.
I hate to say it, but we have a good sponsor with a great app that does exactly that. And it also helps you bill, right, after you've got that. Well, one of the reasons people, freelancers, want to track mileage is not necessarily to bill for it, but to deduct it on their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll do that too, as will Automattic. Automattic does it automatically, which is kind of cool.
So a few weeks ago, I showed off this case, the Lumio case.
I noticed you kept it.
I did, yes. Well, again, I need to make an update on it. So I said it lights up right here, that the flash lights up when you get a notification. What happens is the whole case lights up.
Oh.
I would need to be getting a notification right now.
It also would need to be darker.
And the other problem is my notifications come first on my watch, usually. So,
the whole case lights up.
The whole case lights up because, as many people pointed out, Jack says you don't need a special case to get light up alerts for notifications. You just go to Settings, General, Accessibility, and scroll down to the hearing section.
Right.
And
that's a great tip. In fact, I knew that, and I should have probably said something.
So Apple has been great in the disabled community because
so
many accessibility functions are built right into their devices. I met a blind gal in the Huntsville Mac user group, and it really made me be aware of how hard it is to explain how to use devices with only words. For all the issues with VoiceOver, it is still better than any other platform. So Settings, General, Accessibility, scroll down. You do not need the special case. And we have one more question from Vern. He says, several programs ago, you talked about a PC that could plug into
sure.
an iPad.
Blame me.
Oh. You did. And run Windows 10.
Yes.
Speaking of running Windows 10, do you remember what that was called?
Of course
the,
I do.
The Kangaroo. Right?
The Kangaroo from
the Kangaroo.
InFocus.
Yes,
yeah.
You remember that. We spent a lot of time.
And I got it working, by the way. I don't know if you saw it, but I had to just mess with it. Here comes the Kangaroo. I had to reinstall.
Here comes the Kangaroo.
I had to reinstall the special app on the iPad to do it. This is really cool. So, and by the way, they've just released a second edition that has 4 gigs of RAM, not 2 gigs of RAM. Is it a faster processor? Some additional features, bigger hard drive. I think it's just a bigger hard drive and more RAM for $189. This is $99. But the only problem with the Kangaroo, too, it doesn't come with Windows. Mm. So you're kind of losing this really cool capability. So let me turn it on. By the way, this thing is so cool. It has a fingerprint reader to log you in. And I'm going to plug it in. And this is what's wild. I'm going to plug it into the iPad via the Lightning connector. I'm just using a standard Apple Lightning cable. And there is a special app, which I shouldn't have to launch. Let me make sure this is booting up, because the computer has to be on before it happens. But there's a special app for this that will launch. Maybe it doesn't launch automatically, or maybe it's getting updated. Let me see. It's called OS Lynx. Nope, it's running. So as soon as you connect it, you'll see a USB connection and then a connection with the server. And then what it does is it turns the iPad. I think I have to turn it on. That's the problem. It's fully charged. I've left it in my office to charge. It turns the iPad into a screen for Windows 10. Is that wild? Now, there is a negative. On the iPad Pro especially, it's 1024 by 768. The resolution is low. So allow that. Yes, this is a... There's the... Whoop. Hello. Maybe I have to do it again. You know, it's a little bit recalcitrant. It doesn't like to be on TV, apparently. I had the same problem before, okay, and I use it all the time.
So that one came with Windows 10, but the new one doesn't come with any.
Doesn't
OS?
Come with an operating system. That's one of the ways they get it down to $189. So, but it is a more powerful computer. If you had Windows 10, you could put Windows 10 on it, mm-hmm. obviously, or Linux. Ah, here we go. Now it's seeing it because it's saying, do you trust this computer? Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah, because last time we had all that discussion about trust, remember?
Well, that's from iTunes, right? You can't connect it to a computer and sync it up with iTunes unless mm-hmm. trust. As soon as this check mark goes, I might have to... Oh, sigh. Anyway, yes, that's called the Kangaroo PC. You can see it's a little challenging. They have a new one, the Kangaroo 2, with more storage and more RAM for more money. I think the price is right, $99. And what's neat is it does use the iPad screen and even keyboard. Wait a minute. I detect something happening. Oh, my gosh. Is
there
that Windows
go.
On my... Could that be... What the
there
what?
We go.
Scan my finger on the fingerprint reader. Hello, Leo Laporte. How could that... That, by the way, great picture, huh?
That is an excellent picture.
How could that possibly be true? And, you know, just does this... I always... This Windows logo always reminds me of the basement window. Like, I'm in the basement.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Trying to get out.
Trying to get out.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it? Okay, look at that. This is a Mac Pro. And it, by the way, this is Touch Windows on a Mac Pro.
Right.
Look at that. I mean, an iPad Pro. Did I say Mac Pro? I wish it were. So, now, I was having trouble earlier. Let me see if this is working now or not, because I was having trouble typing. Let me see if I can ask. Now, see, for some reason, the keyboard stopped working. I don't know if that's a driver issue or what. So, but I can't, I think, can I talk to her? Hey, Cortana, get me some chicken feet. See, she's also recalcitrant. Our word of the week. It's not
right.
Perfect, but it's kind of cool.
Kangaroo.
$99.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, if you have a question, email us at iostoday@twit.tv or email me at megan@twit.tv. Now, yeah, let's talk about some pill pack. Look how easy that is.
That's my pills for the day. See, this is really great. I don't know if you take medication of any kind or even vitamins or over-the-counter medications. One of the challenges, and I've tried all sorts of solutions for this, one of the challenges is, did I take my meds this morning? And you know the days I don't take my meds, I'm a little crazy. So it's really important, especially if you have elders in the family, that they take their meds on time, that that you know and they know whether they did or didn't. This is an online pharmacy that has such a great solution. First of all, it's a great online pharmacy. 24/7 pharmacist on call, so you can talk to them in the privacy of your own home, not over the counter in the drugstore. You can move all your prescriptions there. This does not cost anything additional over and above whatever you're paying already as your deductible. It works with most forms of Medicare Part D. And it is awesome. They have robots. There's robots involved that fill your pill pack, okay, once they get your prescriptions. And they fill your pill pack, and they put the dosing right here. The robot uses advanced image recognition, and you can see, I love this. I wish every pharmacy did this. Pictures of every medication you're taking, the name of it, the dosing instructions. This is all from your doctor. And these little pill packs that are easy to open, even for seniors, and have exactly what you want in there. Now, of course, not only robots, but a pharmacist checks every pill pack. So you've got, this is the safest way to get exactly the right medication at exactly the right time on exactly the right day, and to be sure that you've done it. And then, by the way, once you've taken your meds, the next one comes up. And once you've used it up, you don't have to worry because they automatically do refills. They work with your doctor to make sure that your next pill pack is on the way before you reach the end of the old pill pack. I love this for so many reasons. This is really a modern way to solve, you know, a big problem. PillPack.com/twit. If you go there right now and transfer over your prescriptions, they'll tell you, by the way, if your insurance works and all of that stuff. They'll work with your doctor. If they do, if it does and you transfer it over, you'll get $20 on vitamins or over-the-counter meds when you switch. Pre-sorted into personalized packages, one for every dose. It is awesome.
Great for families, too. Like, if you're the one keeping track of all your kids' medications, that kind of thing. It's great.
You know, we use those pill minders for a long time, and you have to fill them up and everything, and it's easy to make a mistake. Yeah, by the way, that's another nice thing. When you're traveling, you just tear off the packages for the days you're going to be gone. This was so easy for vacation. Just they're small, they're little, and the TSA likes them because they say, oh, I see exactly what's in here. I love it. PillPack.com/twit. Give it a try today. All right, time for the app cap.
This is the, I don't know which way this hat
be
goes.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
This goes like this.
Good Lord, are you a terrorist? Are you trying to hide your face for some? Oh, no. Oh, you're in the duck blind.
I'm in the duck blind.
Oh, yeah. There you don't want a
there
duck to see you.
Yeah.
It's hunting season.
I think some people would prefer I do all the shows just like this.
It's kind of a camo burka. Wow.
This is for the duck blind.
You can hear. You can breathe, you can see, and a duck won't know you're not a tree.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like I could say anything I wanted to you right now. I'm behind this mask.
Be very, very careful. Okay, I've got my hunting outfit on.
We wear hats, caps, if you will, because we've been hunting for the perfect app, the best apps. And I cheated a little bit on this one. Mine is not an app. But
what is it?
It's a companion to an app. We talked about Snapchat.
An appanion, if you will.
An appanion. Yes. Yeah. So did you just make that word up?
I just invented that.
Okay. So it's hard for me to see my phone with this. But
they don't really. Duck hunters don't do a lot of tweeting.
Okay. So you know how fond. I probably should definitely snap this moment, don't you think?
Yeah. That's a Snapchat.
I'm snapping my chats. All right. So I'm going to add that to my story, of course.
Oh, for sure. Add that to your story.
Snapping.
Baffling.
We be snapping.
Don't go into a bank wearing that. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'll send that to you. I'll send that to my daughter and add it to my story, and we're done. So, as we talked about, as anyone who's used Snapchat knows.
Mommy, why'd you send me that scary picture?
You know what? As long as I'm here, I should definitely try to figure out if the lenses work with this mask on. It'll just be confused. The lenses are, you know, when you press on the screen.
Oh, I don't know.
It
you're
doesn't gonna, recognize
you know,
as a face.
It says, what
it
are you?
See a face.
You're
anyway.
Just a camo blob.
Okay, so your snaps disappear. Your story disappears.
Yeah, I hate that. That's why I don't use Snapchat.
But I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's really interesting because the kids these days, they love that. They don't feel like they need to save all the things.
Yeah.
Do you remember when our parents and grandparents like would like take the bread when you go out to a restaurant? Like they put all the bread in their pocket, like the free bread?
Yeah,
because like, they lived through
the
depression, right?
Right, yeah.
I think we grew up in the cloud storage depression.
We didn't have it.
And now that we have it, we want to hoard it. Oh, we want to keep it all.
But they act as if, hey, no problem, man. Right. There's storage everywhere, man.
Yeah, exactly. We're like taking the free bread from the restaurant. We're like, yes, upload all my photos to Google Photos because it's free. Yes, Amazon. Yes,
wow,
Flickr.
This is a good theory.
It's my theory. I've been thinking about it all weekend. And it helps when I'm wearing this mask.
So I could stop putting storage in my purse?
Well, I think, stop putting storage in your purse at restaurants.
Okay.
So that's why they don't care about Snapchat. But now that the adults are on Snapchat, what is that?
Well, it's just rubbing against your mic there. Okay. I don't know what we can do about it.
Here, I'll tuck it in.
Put it in your mouth.
I don't know where it's been. So
well, it's been on my head because I like to take this duck hunting.
Yeah, okay, that's better. Yeah. Okay, so
that doesn't look at all weird.
Now that we who've lived through the Depression,
it's not
era
somebody saying,
storage.
"Oh, your parents used to steal bread." It's not stealing. Put it on the table for you to eat.
Right, it's not stealing.
It's just keeping
it's
it for later.
It home and putting it in their. My parents didn't do that. My grandparents.
Yeah,
used
it's Depression
to do that,
era.
Totally.
Yeah.
Don't
waste any food.
But now that adults are going on Snapchat,
don't waste any storage.
They've figured out a way. So now there's a site called Snap Memories that will email you your Snap stories every month. They're keeping them.
What?
And they'll email them.
Oh,
to you.
Now I'm going to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
so
I'm
a
data
record.
Hoarder.
Yes, exactly.
What's it called?
Snap Memories.
So it just it follows you on Snapchat and saves everything?
You have to make your story public so that everyone can see your story.
Well,
so,
that's the point of stories.
Right, exactly. But not for kids. I mean, sometimes people don't want their kids to have everyone being able to see their story. But yeah, you can have it emailing.
And then what happens? It just emails it to you,
yeah, and
so
you can
could
look
then
at
post it.
Yeah,
or I could put it in my day one.
You could.
I have a new way to journal.
Right. Because you can always save your snaps yourself, but it's like an extra step of like.
Can
oh,
you
I
save a
to
story?
Save
no, you have to save each individual thing in the story. What you want is the whole story.
The story.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to start using Snapchat.
Okay. The other thing, my 12-year-old also she got around this. I guess she's maybe a little bit of a hoarder too. She has a separate Snapchat account. And she sends everything to that account also. And if you don't look at a snap,
it's there.
So that's her way of journaling.
But
so
she can
she
never
has,
look at it.
She, like, at the end of the year, she plans to look at all of it and see everything.
What a
that she
good
went
idea.
I don't know if she made it up or got that up on, you know.
That's
Instagram
a great
anything,
idea. She probably saw it on Pinterest.
Right.
A lot of people use that site now, I hear.
So Snap Memories, you go there and it will email you your snap. So you can remember all
oh, look,
the
somebody left their bread. Let me get my purse.
Things that you snapped.
What? Hey.
So what's your app cap?
It's my, you know, I am, I'm a mail app hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds worse than I thought it would before I said it.
I'm a female app hoarder.
Yeah, right. I try all the mail apps because mail is a problem for me. I just get too much of it. Mm-hmm. I can't organize it. I miss important stuff. It's just a problem. Mm-hmm. You can't not use it, though. Everybody expects you to be answering your email. I get nasty emails from people saying, I sent you that message. And I said,
that's
oh,
usually for me.
Lots. Mm-hmm. That's why we started using Messenger, mm-hmm. right? Because at least that I'm going to see because
right.
I get notifications and stuff. So this is an app that I have been using on the desktop on Mac OS X, and now AirMail. They've now put it out for the iPhone. This is an iPhone app because you told me it should only be an iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
It's an email app. Now, it has a lot of the features of email apps we've seen before. It's got the ability to, if I don't want a free upgrade to Sparty Ball, I could just swipe that into the trash. You know, very much like a Comply or Outlook. If I keep swiping, I can add it to a to-do list. That's a nice feature. Similarly, I could swipe it to the right and send it to an archive. This is Gmail, so it supports archives. I like this. I can snooze it for later. So you can add this to to-do lists, but it also supports, and I love this, all of the, I guess I'm a hoarder, all of the services that one would want. For instance, Google Drive, Dropbox, OneDrive. I can have Wunderlist, my to-do list, Google Tasks. I've started moving to Google Tasks now for my to-do list. Pocket, GitHub even. And these are all apps I don't have installed. It has a huge range of apps it works with. Notifications can go to your smartphone as well as to your screen. You have some nice features. For instance, actions require an unlock that keeps people from responding to your mail without your permission. I really am impressed by the completeness of this app. It's really nicely done. And it's not free, But there's no in-app purchases, so I kind of like that, too. And then, of course, it works with the Apple Watch. And I'm getting notifications from my mail. Now, you asked me, and I didn't know, so I'm going to see if I can do this. I don't have any mail in here. If I can respond, send me some mail, will you?
Okay.
I must have cleared all my mail. So send me a notification of some email here. Because I don't think I can respond. That would be really nice.
Yeah.
That you could, but because your responses would be constrained. It'd be just like, yeah, okay, no, maybe. But a few of those would be very handy, wouldn't
mm-hmm.
they? All right, so I'm going to get some mail. Maybe, I hope I didn't turn off notifications, because I eventually will, because I get mail all the time. My wrist has been buzzing all morning mm-hmm. getting mail on my wrist, because I don't want to. But if you're the kind of person who wants your email, you do have VIP mail, which is a really nice feature. So you can say, I think you can say, only notify me if this is from a VIP, right?
Good.
That would be handy. Just so many features. This is an amazingly powerful program. Easily the most... I see. I'm getting a connection error in my Gmail. It works if I want to add another account. I'll show you. It works with Gmail right out of the box, iCloud, Exchange, which is nice. A lot of business email servers use Exchange, Yahoo, Outlook, but also generic IMAP and POP3, so it will work from anything. This is really nice. It syncs your settings to the iCloud. So if you're going to use this on the desktop or you're going to use it on another phone, you can sync the settings, set it up once. It will remember your settings. I can go on and on. What is it, $4.99? It's $5.99. Does it say? $4.99. Okay. That's, I think, very fair. And it does come with the Apple Watch support as well. You know, I'm still waiting for your email. Would you check, see if, Anthony, if it shows the Apple Watch notification on that page? Because I'm trying to remember if I can respond to them or not. It is iPhone only. It does not work on it works on the iPad, but it works mm-hmm. as an iPhone app. There you go. I like it that I can get these. There you go. You see,
yeah,
it does have responses.
Reply.
Yeah. Yeah. So, short responses. But this is a really, really sweet application. And the ability to kind of triage email on your watch. Well, you know, for some people, that's an awfully small screen, and maybe they don't want to do it. But, you know, you're sitting in somewhere, and you don't want to be sitting on your phone. You can mm-hmm. actually quickly go through your emails.
Yeah, because I do that anyway to dismiss notifications, but then I have to go back and do it
right.
again.
So I want you to take a look at this and let me know if this serves. I don't do the notifications because I get email every 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to do is know I've got new email. There's a Mac version as well. Very, very beautiful on the Mac. And now the iPhone version of AirMail is out for $4.99. And I think pretty impressive, I have to say. They seem to have everything that I want in there, including signatures and... labels, to-do list, just very sophisticated.
Well, we've done it again, Leo.
What have we done?
We've done this show.
Did we break it again?
Mm-hmm. We've spent an hour. We've covered the iOS landscape.
And we did it all before 3 o'clock.
We did it all before 3
we
o'clock.
We try to do this show around 1:30 Pacific time.
Is that what you're aiming for? 1:30?
That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
4
to
4:30 Pacific time. That'd be 2100 to 2130 mm-hmm. UTC. If you tune in sometime in that vicinity, you'll see something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it'll be us sitting here in weird hats.
Yeah.
That's every Monday, mm-hmm. right after triangulation.
Yes.
You know what I would do? I'd tune in for triangulation and then just keep watching all day. Because mm-hmm. right after this show, there's Know How mm-hmm. with Father Robert Ballas there. Mm-hmm. That's a fun show where you learn how to do things.
Like,
and then right after that...
Goggles.
You get your daily dose of tech news.
You do.
With the wonderful, they're so talented. I don't know where we found them, Jason Howell and Megan Maroney. Aren't they great?
They are great.
With tech news mm-hmm. today.
They're really great. I don't know where you found them either.
Monday through Friday, every day of the week, they are really funny looking. I can't get over you in that hat.
And you can find out all this
looks
stuff.
Looks like you got wings.
I know, now it does, yeah. It's very
Forget
stylish.
Red Bull.
You should sign up for our newsletter, too. That's twit.tv/newsletter, and then you can find out everybody that's going to be on all the shows and what we'll be talking about. Definitely worth it.
You
don't spam your email box. And subscribe to this show.
Put your flaps down.
Okay.
Flaps down, Maroney. Flaps down. The duck's going to see you.
Last thing you want
is a scared duck. This scares the ducks. They see an orange hat.
Okay,
way quiet.
All right, thanks for joining us.
And we'll see you next time.
on iOS today.
I think a piece of fuzz or something.